Welcome to In Christ, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel in Lubbock, Texas, with pastor and teacher Ben Martinez.
People often forsake or are stumbled by the Lord. How? By not understanding certain events in life. Sometimes when Christians go through suffering, or they have a trial or a tribulation, or simply just life, at those times they will abandon the Lord.
Thank you for tuning in to In Christ Radio, where we are going verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark. Last time, we watched the disciples respond with humility, while Judas respond with hidden betrayal. Today in Mark chapter 14, 22 through 52, we continue with the people's response to Jesus, part 3. In this passage, Jesus shares the Last Supper, calling his followers to remember his sacrifice. They pledge loyalty, but Jesus responds in verse 27. All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written. And Jesus quotes Zechariah 13:7, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And so in Gethsemane, we see their real response. Sleep instead of prayer, fear instead of faith. And Judas arrives with a kiss of betrayal. The crowd comes with swords, and even one of Jesus' own lashes out in confusion. Ultimately, every disciple abandons him and flees. Same Jesus, same teaching, but very different responses. Devotion, confusion, fear, violence, and betrayal. We see that pressure reveals what's really in the heart. When the moment becomes costly, our true response to Jesus rises to the surface. As we follow along, let's ask ourselves, when following Jesus becomes uncomfortable or risky, do we stay close in faith, or do we slip away like so many did that night? Grab your Bibles and turn with me to Mark 14, verses 22 through 52, in today's title, The People's Response to Jesus, Part 3, Forsaken. Here's Pastor Ben.
In Christ, I have his righteousness. In Christ, I have what I confess. In Christ, I don't worry about all the rest, 'cause everything I need to be in Christ.
Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, guys, I want us to go over to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, we're continuing our verse-by-verse study. Today, we're going to cover verses 22 through 52. As I was looking at the bulletin, whoever made the bulletin didn't get it right. And so I have to go 22 to 52. And again, the title's right because we're just doing part 3. People's Response to Jesus, part 3. And we're going to talk about the Greek word is stumble, but it can be translated out forsaken. And so we're going to see some folks today that they're going to run away from Jesus in times of crisis. And my prayer this morning is that we don't run away from Jesus in those times of crisis or tribulation or anything else. Give me a good amen if you're in Mark chapter 14.
Amen.
Again, remember, throughout our Bible, we've seen men and women who, when they came into contact with Jesus, particularly his teachings, well, they responded to him in many different ways. For example, last week we talked about a fella, he's known as the rich young ruler. Most scholars believe he was the son of a Pharisee, and he comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And of course, the Lord gives this dialogue and go sell all of these things and come and follow me. And he was very rich. And the Bible declares that his encounter with Jesus was one of a negative. You go, why? Because he went away sorrowful. He went away sad. He went away, nothing had changed. You see, all of his life, he thought he was a pretty good guy. All these things I've kept from my youth, all the commandments I've kept, I've never lied, I've never cheated, I've never stolen. All of these things, and the Lord says, great, here's one thing. Go sell all your stuff, give the money to the poor, send your treasures ahead of you, if you will, and then come follow me. And he goes, wah, wah, and he walked away sad. That was his encounter. And then I think about another encounter. It's the woman at the well. Do you remember the woman at the well? This poor woman, outcast, socially outcasted. She's going to a well far beyond the normal women go to. She's not hanging out with them like they would go in packs. And this one, they said, no, you're a... And they label her. And so she's going out to this well that's way out of town, and she meets Jesus. Do you remember that? She had an encounter, and her first response, guys, in John chapter 4, her first response is she began to talk religion. She began to say, well, Jesus, you, I perceive you're a prophet. And so we worshiped over here, and she's taught, and Jesus is just, I just try to put myself in the heart of Jesus, because I bet he's just smiling. He likes to let us talk, and he's just smiling, and he's like, lady, I don't know if he called her lady, but nonetheless, you guys remember, at the end of the day, her response is that she repents. She runs to the very town that outcasted her. She runs, I got to tell you, I think it's the Messiah. And I remember when you first got saved. Do you remember when you first got saved? When the scales literally fell and you knew Jesus. Do you remember that? It was like, and you wanted to shout it from the rooftop. Are you kidding me? And then you get mad at yourself because this is something that somebody had been trying to tell you all along, and you wouldn't listen at that time. Oh, there was a big Jesus movement in my day. I was just a teenager, and there was this great revival going on in our city, but I was so caught up in religion, I was like, no way. And we fought against what Jesus was doing. Now you kick myself because I say my only regret in following Jesus is I didn't do it earlier. Come on, somebody. Your only regret. It's like, man, heaven is secure, man. You're there. You're home. But your only regret is you go, hey, I wish I would have got saved when I was, man, what a life of pain maybe I didn't have to go through if I had been saved. I've been saved. To which I say, it's okay, because those days and those years is what God used to shape you to be the man or the woman you are today. You're just saved. Big difference. You're saved, but you still learned those lessons. So at the end, our woman at the well, she opens her heart towards Jesus. And Jesus stays with them just a little bit longer. But think about this. Through Scripture, there are others who, when they heard the teachings of Jesus, they responded in different ways. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we learned about an unnamed woman who most commentators believe it was Mary, and she responds in extravagant worship. You go, what does she do? Think about this, guys. She comes in, she breaks the alabaster jar, and she pours it on the head of Jesus, and all I could see is it smelled, the room just smelled this great fragrance, and it was all done with love. It was done with love. Church, it's the hardest thing for you and I to do, to come into a room full of people and then just an extravagant. We don't have to be loud and boisterous and I'm worship. We don't have to do, but it's just that expression that your mind doesn't worry about what you have to do today. Your mind doesn't think about, okay, I've got to get the car fixed and the cat needs to go to the vet. It's Jesus. And give him that extravagant worship. Give him that worship. She responds, and she did it in love. And here's my thought. I think we all want to worship Jesus this way. I think we're limited in these bodies and in these minds, but man, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? This extravagant worship, uninhibited worship. And we're not going to get tired and be like, hey, pastor, speed it up. Let's go. We got stuff to do. We're going to just be worshiping the Lord. It'll be cool because I'll be worshiping with you, so you won't be like, oh, he's going to get up and talk? I don't think so. We'll be worshiping the Lord. Do you remember what John taught us? Jot this down if you're taking note. John 4 and 24 says this, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's the requirement for worship, spirit and truth. Let's not add all these little things that we think is worship, that we deem as worship. It's spirit and truth. And you stand and you say, Lord, I know who I am before you, and you worship him. That's what Mary did. She worshiped him. She spent a year's wage on the sweet perfume, and that's worship. I got to be honest with you, church. A lot of times I have a hard time holding on to what's mine, even though the Lord has given it to me. And I want to be like this. I want to be like this lady and going, hey, it's all yours, Lord. It's all yours. Now, last week, we saw yet another response to Jesus and his teachings. Unfortunately, it was Judas. Do you remember his response? Well, he betrays the Lord. And it saddens me because Judas Iscariot was a disciple of the Lord, and he had walked with him for 3 years. He saw the miracles. I mean, you can't walk with somebody without seeing their heart. This is the heart of Jesus, and he walked with them. And at the end of the day, he didn't believe the truth of who Jesus was and his teachings. And what I like to say is it never made the 17 inches from the head to the heart. And that's you and I. There's a lot of us in this room, a lot of us watching online. We know a lot about Jesus, but we need it to go here. And when it goes here, this is where it affects us. This is where we're turned. This is where we're transformed. That's here. I believe there are many people who, when reading the Bible or listening to a teaching or even attending church, well, their response to Jesus and his teaching is very much like we see in Scripture. You go, how so? Well, many who come in will walk away sorrowful. Well, first, they're sorrowful because they'll hear the gospel message behind this pulpit, regardless on who's preaching. They'll hear it, and they'll first be sorrowful. By the time they get out to the road, then they're angry. Well, I can't believe that preacher said that. I can't believe he mean. I'm not going back to that church. And there's a lot of people who do that in churches all over the place. I don't like what he said. I don't like the way he insinuated. No. He's teaching the Bible. And like the rich young ruler, they'll have an encounter with Christ and walk away sorrowful. I believe that there's people who come in and they become religious. Oh, I like your church. I like the people. And they get into a religious routine. We're hoping that religious routine turns into a relationship, a salvation relationship. But there's a lot of people like the woman at the well that wants to just talk. Let's just talk religion. Let's just talk religion. And then you have people who will respond to Jesus in this circle that have extravagant worship. You go, what do you mean? They get saved. They get saved. They're like, oh, I can't explain it. What's Jesus do? I don't know. I just can't explain. It's going good. And you just have this, just a wonderful, and he's your all in all. He's your all in all. And for others, well, like Judas, they'll hear the message and they'll respond in betrayal, like we talked about last week. Now, as I was thinking about sorrowful, and I was thinking about religion, and I was thinking about betrayal, and then I was thinking about extravagant worship, you know what dawned on me? It almost parallels the sower and the seed that Jesus talked about. He said, as the farmer throws some seed, what happens? He said, some fell by the wayside and didn't grow. That's the sorrowful. By the time they were upset by the time, right? He said, others got choked out. That's religion. Others, you know, the cares of the world choked that out. But he said, but some fell on good ground, and that's that extravagant worship. And I thought, wow, that just parallels this. That is so cool. That is so cool. Well, today in our text, we see another response to Jesus. And for the sake of our study, I use the word forsaken, and I'll explain here in just a second. But I know that in our circle of life, guys, and where we are in the Bible Belt, there's a lot of people that go, I've never forsaken the Lord. I've never forsaken him, and I will never forsake the Lord. And yet we discover that there are subtle ways that Christians forsake the Lord. You go, really? How so? Well, first and foremost, before we have the how so, we need to ask the Lord to teach us. Lord, show me. Am I somehow forsaking you in any way? And then listen. Listen and then make the change. You go, make the change. Yeah, that's the repentance. Let me just say this really quick. If you're taking note, please understand, if there's some condemnation or guilt, that's not from God. But if there's some conviction going, oh, I need to make the change. Oh, that's from the Lord. It's conviction. It's beautiful. It's a great thing that the Lord says. You go, well, what do you mean? Okay, well, let me explain. If you are a note taker, Webster defines forsake like this. Jot this down. To abandon. Right? To withdraw companionship. So you're not friends anymore. To withdraw protection or support from somebody. That's what forsake means. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to force. We're not going to be friends anymore. Then the second line here is to give up, to renounce, or to sacrifice something that gives pleasure. That's how Mr. Webster defines forsake. To abandon or renounce, we see that. What we learned today, guys, is Peter and the disciples do both of these things. They're going to abandon the Lord, and they're going to renounce the Lord. And as we study through this portion of Scripture, keep in mind these two applicational points. You go, what are they? People often forsake or are stumbled by the Lord. How? By not understanding certain events in life. And I'll explain. You go, what do you mean? Well, sometimes when Christians go through suffering, or they have a trial or a tribulation, or simply just life, at those times, they will abandon the Lord. They just didn't understand what's happening. The second is, notice, they will forsake the Lord in their ideal thinking. And I'll explain that in just a minute. So people are stumbled, how? By certain events in life and by ideal thinking. Okay? So, lots of work to do. Let's jump into our text. Where do we find the guys? We find them in the Passover meal. Judas is gone. Now remember, Judas betrayed the Lord, but remember, Satan entered him and now he's gone. The guys don't know this. They think he's going to go do some transaction. He was the treasurer and it's like, oh, I guess he's going to go pay for the food or get more food, whatever they thought. He's gone and Jesus is now with his guys and he's going to give some instructions. That's where we pick it up, guys, in verse 22. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is the blood of the new covenant, which will be shed for many. If you're an underliner, and you're not afraid to write in your neighbor's Bible, go ahead and underline. This is the new covenant, and that's important. You go, why? Think about this. Here's the Passover meal, okay? In Mark chapter 14, 20-25, it describes a scene where Jesus is instituting what we call the Lord's Supper. It's during the Last Supper with his disciples, but why is it so pivotal? Here's why. It holds so much significance in Christian worship. Because it's a new covenant, the Passover is now going to be changed forever. It's going to be done symbolically. And we have to know that we do this in remembrance of him. The Catholic Church has come in and said there's something called transubstantiation, where they believe that the bread and the wine actually transform into the body of Christ. And if you'll notice, if you're ever in a Catholic church, I grew up Catholic, they don't spill any of that because they really believe this. But here's the thing you need to understand. This is under the new covenant. The Passover from Exodus is changed. Who were they looking for in the Exodus? A deliverer. A savior, get us out of Egypt. And now Jesus is here. You got to put on your thinking caps, church, because you got to remember, if you're a disciple, what are you thinking? You're like, I don't know. What am I thinking? We'll get to that in just a minute. So Jesus comes in and he says, this is a new covenant. Verse 25 says, assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. And everybody goes, amen. Why? Here's what Jesus said. I'm not doing communion again until I do it with you in heaven. And that's so significant. Why? Because you and I still take communion here. It's part of the ordinance of the church. And so we gather with communion, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's remembrance. And you guys need to know, all of this is done with the sovereignty and the seriousness, but also the celebration. Wow, well, this is what we believe. This is what we believe. But for you and I, here on earth, whenever we take communion, and we'll take communion in 2 weeks, we gather together, and what we do is when we lift up our glass, we'll say, next time, which is weird, isn't it? Because we're almost saying like, okay, I hope to die in a month. That's what we're really saying. But that's not what it means. You see, the Jews, whenever they were dispersed, then they would do Passover, not communion, okay, because they're not understanding this new covenant. They would lift up and they would say, next time in Jerusalem. We're not there. If we're in Babylon, next time we want to be home. That's all they're saying. And so what you and I say is when we hold up the cup, we go, Lord, I hope the rapture comes. I'm ready to go home. And I'm ready for this great celebration of the new covenant Passover in. If you're a crier, do I have any criers in here? You are not a crier self. You're the toughest guy I know. But if we have a crier, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Just tears, joy, just like, oh my gosh. Some of you are going to be crying because you're like, I made it. I made it. Man, I was close. I didn't think I was. Woo. Thank you for his grace. Others are going to be like, wow, this is amazing. But I love the fact that Jesus isn't going to do it until we do it in the kingdom. And that's something you should look forward to. So the Passover is going on. It's a new covenant. All of this is happening. And notice what he says. He says in verse 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't say if this is the hymn they sung, but this was many of the hymns that they sung back in the day. And I thought it was just appropriate. I wonder if they sung the hymn in Psalm 116. Can you imagine? They finished the Passover. Think about the words. Psalm 116. I'm only going to give you the first five verses, but can you imagine? We finish this, and here we go. Notice it on the screen. This is, can you imagine? I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon. I mean, can you imagine just that song? And Jesus is singing with them. The pains of death surround me. I'd be like, whoa, hold on. The pains of Sheol hold me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. This is what they're singing. Oh, Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. Now, I wasn't there, so I'm not sure if they sang this song, but how cool if they did. How it would be amazing. It would be amazing. In Christ.
That was Pastor Ben Martinez in the Servant King series, a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Mark. As Pastor Ben reiterates time after time, the message of Mark's gospel is captured in a single verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Chapters 10, verse 45. Chapter by chapter, the book unfolds the dual focus of Christ's life, service and sacrifice. Mark portrays Jesus as a servant on the move, instantly responsive to the will of the Father. By preaching, teaching, and healing, he ministers to the needs of others, even to the point of death. After the resurrection, he commissions his followers to continue his work in his power, servants following in the steps of the perfect servant. As we walk through this gospel together, may we be challenged to follow Jesus with boldness, serve with humility, and proclaim the good news with passion. So join us next time as we continue in the Gospel of Mark.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio. And I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry. And by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.
In Christ, I have His righteousness. In Christ, I have what I